Good morning. It is good to be here with you. Some faces are familiar to me. Others are new faces. And that's all good. So I was thankful to be here in the Sunday school. And so some of the thoughts that went through my mind, I just thought I would share them first. Why did Jesus do what he did? Because he is the Word of God. He's just simply living out what who he is. So when the Word, the things that he's living out, he simply just is doing that because that's who he is. And I found that interesting because when we look at his Word, John 1, that's where I wanted to start this morning. It speaks of him being the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is why. So when he was teaching them things and telling them things and living out things, it's just simply naturally who he is. So it shouldn't surprise us that he did the things that he did or said the things that he said. I want to keep reading here a few more verses. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And I just think of what was shared even in the Sunday school too. Where should we start sharing? Where should we start witnessing? Right here where we are. I was really in agreement with what was shared there. Oftentimes our focus is far away. But how about my neighbors? How about those that I work with? How about those that are right around me? Well, that's not my calling. Yes, it is. It is our calling. We are to be witnesses too. Beginning right here and then to the ends of the earth. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This was God's will. So when Jesus came to save us, when he came to be crucified, when he was sacrificed on our behalf, he was just simply living out who he is. The Word of God. The Word of God said there would be a sacrifice for our sins. He would be beaten for our sins. He would be crucified. So those things he just naturally lived out because that's who he is. So let's begin now with praying. I know we already prayed here. But again, Lord, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are the creator of all things, that you, when you sent Jesus Christ to this earth and you were willing to come here, Jesus, you just simply lived out who you are, what was spoken of you, Lord. You are the Word. And so, Father, this morning we want to again look into your Word. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to hear from you. We want your Spirit to come and dwell in our hearts. Teach us all things, God. Redirect our lives. Help us to refocus our lives, Lord. Maybe sometimes we've lost focus of what truly matters, God. And I just think, too, Lord, of what was shared, that we should be reaching out to those that are right here, God. Give us further understanding. Give us a revelation, just a vision of who we should reach out to right here, our neighbors, our friends. Those we work with, God, that we would be sincere in our walk with you, God. When we say that we believe you, Jesus, that we would look at your Word and truly believe what your Word says. Lord, come here and anoint this time. In Jesus' name, amen. On the way here this morning, again, relating exactly to this message, I had preached this message at home, and I was like, should I preach this here or should I not? And a brother came to me, and just before we were leaving, he said, you should share that same message that you shared here, over there. So I just felt like that was a confirmation that God gave me that I should share the same thing. The title of the message is Truth Intolerant. And so this morning, as we were coming here on the one church sign that we passed, it said, it's all about Jesus. And thinking of who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. Manifest, he came in the flesh. So if it's all about Jesus, is it just the physical man, Jesus? Is it just his providing salvation for us? Or is it all really about Jesus, obeying his word? Because oftentimes we can say, yeah, it's all about Jesus, but really, what are we referring to when we say it's all about Jesus? This fuzzy feeling or whatever, different things that we could think up in our minds. I'm sure there's things that are coming up in your mind right now. It's all about Jesus. Really? So when he said that we are to love our enemies, we're not to kill those, is it still about him? Well, maybe not. So it was just interesting to me when we passed that sign. I just thought I would mention that. Just as a thought-provoking thing, is it really about Jesus? Or is it about something else? Truth intolerant. When we think of being intolerant to something, some people are lactose intolerant. They cannot handle things that have dairy, or some people cannot handle things that have peanuts in them. Different things that people are intolerant to, their body cannot handle it. Their body rejects it, it reacts to it. And when we think of being truth intolerant, I think it's the same thing. When we think of different verses, you know, different things, well, like I had just mentioned, loving our enemies. Well, I'm intolerant to that verse. I'm not going to love my enemies. I'm not going to listen to that, really. We need to re-examine, okay? We say that we love Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Well, then let it be all about Jesus. If he says these things, we need to receive that. And, you know, and my wife reminded me, too, I shouldn't really use this word, but being tolerant. Being tolerant is like, well, I kind of accept it. It's more than that. It's not just being tolerant to something. It's really receiving him. And that's why I thought it was interesting, the study that we had here this morning already, just about receiving Jesus, his word, whatever he says. So I want to read here in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. And then in chapter 3, the one verse that really stood out to me here is verse 3 here, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified most of these verses, and forgive me when I make a mistake. I have the King James and the Amplified, and I tried to be focused on just reading the Amplified, but at times when you turn the page, then you forget that you're not just continuing to read, so right in the same order. There's encouragement here for Timothy. Maybe we should even just read from the first verse. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You as preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Rebuking and correcting, warning and urging. How do we know when we're living something wrong? By Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If we look at his teachings, that's something that we talked about this morning, what he was teaching. He was teaching them about the Holy Spirit coming, telling them about this. Here he's telling Timothy, we are to show the people what is wrong in their lives. So when we think of sharing something with somebody that is wrong in their life, if they are intolerant to truth, there will be a reaction. Just like if you drank a cup of milk right now and you're lactose intolerant, unless it doesn't have the stuff in there. Or you ate something that had peanuts in it, you would react. How do we react when something is shared with us that maybe is not quite in line with what God's Word teaches? Are we intolerant to it? And that's where we need to say and realize or examine our lives. Is this Jesus? Is it all about Jesus in my life, or is it just partially about Jesus? Now, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate. Found it interesting that the word tolerate is right here. Endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. They will gather to themselves one teacher after another to considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. So when there's things that we tolerate or we receive, maybe they don't exactly line up with God's word, then we seek after that. Well, this guy says this, and I feel comfortable with this, and maybe it doesn't line up with God's word. And then we become truth intolerant. We're like, well, you know, if somebody wants to correct us, then no, I'm not going to be corrected in this thing. But if Jesus is the word, and the word is God, then when the word is spoken, I need to be willing to receive it. It needs to be able to change my life. Because it's warning us here that there is a time coming, and I believe that we are right now in that time. We saw it already after Christ left this earth. There were false teachers coming in. But how much more today? A lot of places, a lot of churches, the pastors are there to put on some performance to tickle their ears so that they come again next weekend. They have heaped up these teachers. They've brought these guys in. Considerable number chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. These men are specifically chosen because of the things that they will teach them. They will teach them the same errors that they already hold. Truth intolerant. And will turn aside from hearing the truth. Who is the truth? Who has the truth? Jesus has the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When it's all about Jesus, then the truths that he has spoken need to affect our lives. They need to change our lives. These will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. Man-made fictions. You have to wonder, why, you know, where are these people headed? We have a situation right now, very close to us, where there is a couple that was just received into the church, and the man was converted, and he had his wife, and he divorced her, and now he's remarried, and they were just received into the church 2 weekends ago. How is this possible when this is allowed? When the truth, well, it doesn't really matter. When Jesus' words that he plainly spoke to us on that subject, well, can't tolerate it. So then we have to heap up these, bring these teachers in that will teach us these things. And when they don't teach those things, then we will not tolerate, we will not accept what they say. And the warning for us this morning is to look at what does God's word say and be willing to accept God's truths. And when there's areas that I find myself in where I cannot tolerate what God's word says, where I will not receive what God's word says, to be careful, because maybe I am going in this direction that I need to have these different teachers come to my life and bring me these teachings that feel good to me. And we are very strongly warned here about these things. What happens? They wander off into myths and man-made fictions, teaching things that are contrary to God's word. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. For I am already about to be sacrificed. My life is about to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my spirit's release from the body is at hand, and I will soon go free. Then look what he says here. I find this interesting how he puts this right here. Tells him to be careful about teaching, tells him to teach others, rebuke them, share with them the truth. Then he says, I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly held the faith. What faith? The faith in Christ. Holding to his teachings. Listening to what he says. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you think that we will love his appearing if we cannot tolerate, when we cannot accept his word? No. We would feel more comfortable in the place where this man who has tickled our ears, or this woman who's tickled my ears and taught me things that I want to hear and just kept me in that direction of error. No, but if we love his appearing, we will hold to his teachings. We will not be intolerant to his truth, even though it's hard. He says that there is a crown laid up for him because he has continued in this way. He's not afraid of his appearing. And we should not be afraid of his appearing if we are holding to his teachings. We are warned here that there will be men that will rise up and they will be teaching errors. Do we around us see churches teaching things that are contrary to God's word? We have churches around us that are doing that. We should not be afraid, and we should ask God for boldness to rebuke those people even. To be hated for the truth, it's okay. Not in a way that we come across in a haughty way, where we run them down and it's nothing with you, but show them out of Scripture, this is the way of Jesus. And he says here that his life is poured out. In what way is our life poured out? Are we okay with being hated? Because when the truth is spoken, then those who do not love the truth are angry, and it's okay. When we are intolerant to truth, then we will be with that same crowd and walk away. And just giving into that a little bit can lead us astray from the truth. And we can start saying, it's all about Jesus, but my life does not conform to his word because I cannot tolerate what he says. I cannot accept what he says. I cannot receive what he says. Then we also, like I said, we will bring in or go to places where our ears will be tickled. And we need to be warned that we're not going that direction. And in our minds, I'm sure there's things that we could share, if each one of us would share something. Well, I have a hard time with this scripture. Okay? Do you love Jesus? Yes. Is he the truth? Yes. Then you need to accept what he says, even though it's hard. Somebody in your life that you have a hard time with, you need to love that person. Now in chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Do we find that? Yes. There's troublesome times. I have, in the recent time, gone through some hard things because of false teachings, people being led astray. We go or have been evangelizing in a place with Old Colony Mennonites, and there have been teachers that have come there and they have taught them things of that are not true, and they're misleading them, and they're accepting things now, just like what I spoke of, where this couple was received, that is divorced and remarried, into the church. They're willing to go along that same path. And why is our relationship broken? Because we're not willing to go that way. So when we are willing to walk in the truth, relationships are going to be broken. That's not because we don't love them, but it's because we're not willing to follow that same path. We're following Christ and his teachings. We're following the truth. Hard times, great stress. Who feels it when we start, you know, oh my, I love this person, but he's walking away, and we warn them, and they do not receive it. Let's be careful that we don't start just being willing to itch their ears or tickle their ears because, well, I want him to be my friend. I don't want to lose this friendship. He's warned here to rebuke them if they're walking in the wrong way. And how should we walk then? Yes, we should love them. But it's not this wishy-washy love where I just go along and start living that same way and start denying God's word and I become intolerant to the truth because I want to keep this friend. No, my relationship with God is more important to me than that I keep this friendship. And I'm willing to warn them. That's where we need to, like I said, pray for boldness. I've been asking the Lord over the last weeks here, give me boldness. I need to have boldness to walk out the truth, to live the truth, and to share the truth with people, even though it's hard, even though they will not receive it. Jesus' word was not received. We find in the New Testament where he was speaking truth, and he was hated, called the devil. He was as if he was totally the enemy, but yet he was speaking the truth to them. Needs to be done in love, in a spirit of love, when we share truth with people. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Now, when we think of tickling their ears, well, it's all about me. Come and tickle my ears. Self-centered. Lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth. Proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct. I found this very interesting the way it says it here. Loose in morals and conduct. And doesn't Jesus teach us about things on how we are to walk? The disciples teach us and things that how we need to live our lives. Uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements, more than and rather than lovers of God. And I had to ask myself, we had a power issue, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before at our church. And the lights, we have like kind of lights like this, and they were flickering. One would shine, then the next one would shine, and then the next one, and they would just go in a row like that. And in many places, there's vain amusement happening, and people are coming there because of the lights flashing and the vain amusements. More than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, and it puts the words here, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. So here we have a list of things that these people hold to. They have even a form of religion. They deny the power of this. What does he tell us to do with such people? To go and just try to, you know, win them by just this wishy-washy love? No, he says, avoid all such people. Turn away from them. Strong language. Because when we are in a place where we do not tolerate truth and we do not accept Jesus' words and what he has said to us, and we start hanging out with a crowd of people who are the same, we are going to walk that direction. We need to be careful of what kind of fellowship we have. And here it says that we are actually to avoid such people. Turn away from them. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women, loaded down with the burden of their sins and easily swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. Anybody who will teach them, not knowing the truth. If they looked at God's word and they were careful about what's being taught, would they then be willing to do these things? They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. And I had to ask myself, how is it that there are some things that are being put out today, many conferences and different things that men and women go to, and they're learning and learning and learning and learning and learning, but they cannot come to the truth. They cannot see what Jesus has taught. It does not affect their life. It does not change their life. It doesn't change their direction. Because they have heaped up for themselves teachers who will itch their ears, tickle their ears, and teach them the same errors that they are already walking in. And that's why it has none effect for them to become that what Jesus wants them to be. So we need to be careful to devote ourselves to the truth. Receive the truth. Receive Jesus. Just like those verses that we read there in John. Let's read the account here of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And I have from 42 through verse 60. But God turned away from them and delivered them up to worship and serve the hosts, stars of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Did you really offer to me slain beasts and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? No, you look up to the tent, the portable temple of Moloch, and carried it with you. And the star of the god Rephan, the images which you yourselves made that you might worship them, and I will remove you, carry you away into exile beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tent, tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, even as he who directed Moses to make it had ordered according to the pattern and model he had seen. Our fathers, in turn, brought it, this tent of witness, in with them into the land with Joshua when they disposed of the nations, which God drove out before the face of our forefathers. So it remained here until the time of David, who found grace, favor, and spiritual blessing in the sight of God and prayed that he might be allowed to find a dwelling place for God, for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses and temples made with hands, as the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool for my feet. What kind of house can you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place in which I can rest? Was it not my hand that made all these things? You stubborn and stiff-necked people, still heathen and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always actively resisting the Holy Spirit." You are always actively resisting the Holy Spirit, as your forefathers were. So you are, and so you do. Which of the prophets did your forefathers not persecute? And they slew those who proclaimed beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you now have betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as it was ordained, and set in order and delivered by angels, and yet you did not obey it. Now upon hearing these things, they, the Jews, were cut to the heart and infuriated, and they ground their teeth against Stephen. So, and we could read more of this, and this account is something that's familiar to us. But why did they do this? They were cut to the heart. What cuts the heart? The truth cuts the heart. And then we can make a decision right there. We're going one way or the other. We either receive what the word says, or we do not receive. We are either truth intolerant, or, and I don't want like to use this word, we're tolerant. It's more than that. We receive the word. These men were angry. What, because their ears were tickled? No, their ears were not tickled. They were told things that they hated, and they did not receive it. We know the account. What did they do to him? They killed him. And when we share the truth with people, maybe somebody's not going to physically kill us, and maybe somebody will, but we will be killed in that relationship unless that person is willing to turn. Then we find other places in Acts 2 here. In verse 37, now when they heard this, they were stung, cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, special messengers, brethren, what shall we do? Just the opposite. On one hand, the truth was spoken to these men, and they could not receive it. They were angry. They killed Stephen. On this side, these men were like, cut to the heart. The same thing. It stung them. And it changed their lives because they were willing to receive the truth. They were willing to bear with the truth. And that is what we need to be careful. When the word of God is spoken to us, maybe there is something that I'm walking in a wrong direction. That I don't put up a guard and say I'm not willing to receive this. Especially when we believe that Jesus is the word. Because if he is the word, then I need to be willing to receive him if I say that he's in my life. And if it's all about Jesus in my life. We have the account in Jeremiah where the scroll was being burned. The truth was not received there. And we know what happened to them. They were taken out because they were not willing to receive what God's word says. God's heart for his people there was that they would turn. Perhaps they will turn when they hear these things. But did they? No, they actually took the scroll and they, as it was being read, he took it and he threw it in the fire where he was warming himself. It was burned. And in many people's lives, the same thing is happening. We wouldn't like to say that, well, you know, it's getting a little cooler here. So maybe some of you have fireplaces, and we're so truth intolerant that I start using my Bible and start throwing it there. But we might as well do that if we're not willing to receive what God's word says. And we are, in essence, doing that. Well, this doesn't apply to me. This doesn't apply to me. And instead of receiving it, I warm myself with it. And God's judgment comes on my life. God's heart for us is not that his judgment would be on our lives. He shares his truth with us to change our course. He shares with us because he wants us to be with him eternally. And I believe that each one of us in here this morning has that same desire that we want to live out the truth. We want to follow the truth, whatever the cost. And I am willing to stand alone for the truth. Jeremiah was willing to stand alone. Stephen was willing to stand alone. Those that have been killed because of the faith throughout the ages have been willing to stand alone. They were not those who tickled the ears. They were not willing to go with the flow. They were not willing to bear with this relationship, even though this person is walking in sin, and say nothing. They got killed and were killed because they were willing to stand with Jesus. John chapter 8. Verse 42 through 51. Very hard words here again. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me and respect me and welcome me gladly. For I proceeded, came forth from God, out of his very presence. I did not even come on my own authority or of my own accord as self-appointed, but he sent me." Why do you misunderstand what I say? It is because you are unable to hear what I am saying. Intolerant, not receiving, not being willing to receive his word, not being willing to receive him. When we do not accept his word, we are not willing to receive him because he's the word. Again, I know I'm saying that many times, but that is something that we need to consider. Well, I love Jesus. I love him. But do you really love him if you don't obey his word? And we find verses that say, if you love me, obey me. And that's why, because you can't divide that. You can't have Jesus and not receive his word, because they're one. You cannot bear to listen to my message. Your ears are shut to my teaching. You are of your father the devil, and it is your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him. What Jesus did and what he spoke was natural to him. And here he gives the other side. When the enemy does something and speaks a lie, it's natural to him. For he is a liar himself and the father of lies and of all that is false. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me, do not trust me, do not rely on me or adhere to me. Who of you convicts me of wrongdoing or finds me guilty of sin? Then if I speak truth, why do you not believe me, trust me, rely on, and adhere to me? Whoever is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. Just in plain language, he puts it out. This is the reason that you do not listen to those words to me. Because you do not belong to God and are not of God or in harmony with him. Strong language. It's all about Jesus. But when you speak the word, then you very soon find out it's not about him at all. It's about vain amusements, self-seeking, self-centered living. And I don't know this church, that where that sign is. Maybe you guys know where the thing is. I don't know the people. But it just so happened that as I was glancing over, I saw that. And it just, you impacted me and made me rethink that whole thing. Whoever is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. This is the reason that you do not listen. Sorry. To those words to me, because you do not belong to God and are not of God or in harmony with him. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right when we say you are a Samaritan and that you have a demon, that you are under the power of an evil spirit?" How many times have you been challenged or evil spoken of because you're willing to stand out and speak out for the truth? Jesus answered, "I am not possessed by a demon. On the contrary, I honor and reverence my Father, and you dishonor, despise, vilify, and scorn me." If Jesus had been willing to go with them, tickle their ears, he would have won their hearts. He would have had their hearts. But he wasn't willing to do that because he was listening to his Father. He was obeying his Father. His Father had sent him on this mission. His Father had sent him to share these truths with them. And they were not willing because they were truth intolerant. They could not tolerate the truth. They could not listen to it. However, I am not in search of honor for myself. I do not seek and am not aiming for my own glory. There is one who looks after that. He seeks my glory, and he is the judge. Now listen to the powerful verse here, 51. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone observes my teaching, lives in accordance with my message, keeps my word, he will by no means ever see and experience death. The one road of accepting, receiving untruths, lies, having our ears tickled, all these different things, that road leads to death. But the words of God, even though some of them are very hard to our flesh, lead to life because it puts the flesh to death. And God wants to give us life. That's why he shares these things with us. So the challenge for us, are we willing to receive everything that he says? Are we willing to have relationships broken? Not that I willingly, you know, I'm going to go the next week or the next couple of weeks and knock on doors and make a bunch of enemies. No, but because I'm willing to adhere to the truth. And when a challenge comes up and somebody says, well, I'm not walking in that direction, and I would like it if you would come and meet with me in these errors and these teachings, accepting, a divorce case and a remarriage case and stuff like that, different things that could come up in our lives, that we're not willing to stand with those things, but we're willing to receive the truth. Stand with Jesus, because in the end, we know when he comes, like he says here, love his appearing. Why? Because they were willing to receive the truth. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to receive his truth and not be truth intolerant. When we say we love Jesus, what are we saying? We're saying we love him, we love his word, and we want to follow him. It's all about Jesus in his in our lives when we're willing to obey him in his word. So that's what I had to share this morning. May God bless his word.